Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hi there, and welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Very glad, so honored that you have joined the number one industry-related, industrial-focused podcast in the universe that celebrates you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you are changing the world, and you are changing lives, and we need you more than ever today, given what we call, I don't know, a COVID world. I don't know what we call it. However, we do need you. And thank you very much. That's why we celebrate you on this particular podcast each and every day. Thank you very much. Now, we've got a really, and I mean really, important podcast. We're talking logistics, but we're talking about the challenges that are happening today within the supply chain, the logistics and solutions, which is what we need. All right, let's get going. Her name is Bonnie Shields. She's with a great company called Cap Logistics. They're out of Denver, and they're wonderful. And, you know, it was interesting when we were having this conversation because I've been harping on, right? You need to collaborate because you don't have all the answers, and you need to collaborate internally and externally to get those answers to be successful going forward. That's one. Two, you need to innovate, not just from a technology point of view, but every part of your supply chain, your logistics strategies, your human capital, human resources, talent, whatever. All aspects have to be looked at from the goggles of innovation. You have to learn. You have to educate. You have to keep on learning and consuming information that helps you and your company be more resilient, succeed in this new world. And then you've got to do it with a sense of urgency and speed, right? You've got to take action today. Do it today. And then you're going to have to make mistakes. Because if you're not taking action, you're not making mistakes, right? Because you're just going to have to get back up, do it again. We depend on you. And so we have this interview today with Bonnie Shields. And one of the questions that keeps coming to me from many industrial professionals, companies, is just, what do we do? The supply chain, I source my products from other locations, but boy, that has just changed dramatically. I don't have the ability to be able to comprehend the challenges going forward. What do I do? How do I keep my business going? And how do I source and supply products that I need to do that? Because everything has changed. Do I continue to source from Asia? Do I shift some of my manufacturing sourcing solutions to Mexico? Do I go to India? What do I do? And then if I do that, how does that upset and impact my quality, my ability to deliver a product? These are all incredible questions that I know that I've had with a number of companies, and I'm telling you right now, you need to reach out to Bonnie Shields with Cap Logistics. And the reason you need to do that, because they're sort of this mid-size freight forwarding company that has this real extensive, and I mean extensive reach in the ability to be able to go from point A to point B, drop it at your doorstep or company or, you know, manufacturer, but be able to do it with a sense of speed and urgency. They just take action. And that's what we need. And that's right in line with my collaboration, innovation, that big old long list of things that we've got to do today. They take action. All right. So Bonnie is with Cap Logistics. She's an incredible professional. She blew my mind when the first time I spoke with her, and she was just bringing the lumber of truth when it comes to this. Her stat card on LinkedIn is absolutely amazing. And so when you reach out to her, you got to do Bonnie M. Shields, M. Shields, slap in CAP, C-A-P Logistics. You will find her. And I'm telling you right now, you will not be disappointed. I mean, she understands exactly what to do, and her stat card out on LinkedIn shows it. So without me yammering on, you know I'm a big fan of Bonnie. You know I'm a big fan of CAP Logistics. Here she is talking logistics and solutions. All right, Bonnie, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you made time in your busy schedule. Thank you for joining and doing it and saying yes, because you have a story to tell. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All the way from Colorado. Well, beautiful state of Colorado. Before we get into the interview, and we're going to be talking, listeners out there, we're going to be talking a little bit about international movement of product. And given the fact that we've got this big doggone elephant in the room, what are we doing? What are we talking about? And Bonnie's an expert on that. But Bonnie, give us a little background on who you are and why you're such an incredible professional. Then we're going to zip on into the interview.
Absolutely. So I started my career young for the Big Brown Company, and they were phenomenal. It was a great training ground for me. Incredible work ethic is taught with that organization, and obviously they focus both on domestic and international logistics. With that company, I went on to become a customs broker, transitioned actually midstream to be the customer. So moved with an organization, a plastics manufacturer, over to China for several years, where I set up some global distribution and fulfillment, did sourcing for a plastics manufacturer, and then came back to the States, where I got back into the forwarding side of things. So I think my perspective is a little bit different, because it is from both the forwarding logistics side as well as the customer side, and it allows me some better insight, I think, into the complete supply chain from that perspective.
Now, you're the Director of Global Business Development at CAP Logistics, and we had a conversation a couple of weeks back, and you know, outside of the fact that you impressed the heck out of me, I think you have some incredible insights into what we're looking at today from a logistics point of view. And so that's what this particular conversation is all about. For the listeners, Bonnie, sort of give us a general macro view of what's taking place logistically, and then we might just go down into a more of a micro conversation. Does that make sense?
You bet. Absolutely. Thank you. You know, and it is from that platform that I would say that right now the mid-size freight forwarder like a CAP Logistics, CAP Worldwide, is really able to excel right now because there is so much volatility in the supply chain and in the forwarding industry that those mid-sized companies are able to move quickly, be agile, pivot, still provide good customer service because you're not having to call into a giant call center to get information. And that's really been, I think, an area where if I'm a decision maker right now, yes, I need to move my product. I've got a lot of product that I need to move, but I also need to do it with a partner that is exceptional and agile, and those mid-sized companies like a CAP Logistics is able to do that. I'll give you a couple examples. So I actually have a customer that just recently we were going through, it's May, so it is the ocean negotiation time where you negotiate all your contract and ocean rates for the next 12 months. And it came down to a decision of do we go with the forwarder that is huge and massive and has, you know, Walmart as one of their companies that they support, or do we go with that mid-size forwarder? And ultimately, I'm pleased to say we were able to win that contract because of the hands-on care that we're able to give during this volatile time. And then we can go into what's causing some of that volatility as well.
As a freight forwarder, define freight forwarder for the listeners.
You bet. So there are asset-based companies. You might think of that as your trucking company, where you see them driving on the highway and the name of the company is on that truck. That's an asset-based company. As a freight forwarder, traditionally, they may have some sectors that they actually have their own assets, but traditionally, they are utilizing other companies in order to create that door-to-door global supply chain. So a freight forwarder may not have an entity in China to have their own truck go to the factory, pick up the goods, and bring it to the port. They most likely do not have their own steamship line to then transport those goods from China, let's say here to the US, or from China to India. And then when it gets to, we'll use Denver as an example, when it gets to the US, then there's that local delivery. So throughout those three legs, the foreign, the main part of transportation, and then the destination piece, you're utilizing various companies and organizations to pull that entire supply chain together. And that's what a freight forwarder does.
Soup to nuts. If I came to Cap Logistics, if I contacted Bonnie and say, Bonnie, I got some product over here in Timbuktu, and I need to get that Timbuktu product and bring it on into Iowa. That's where you guys shine.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and then for me, because I like the fact that you talked about speed, being nimble, being agile, and I would imagine a part of that is there's a risk component that you guys handle. Right? I don't have to sit there and, you know, have my stomach in knots wondering if Cap is doing their job to get my product from Timbuktu to Iowa. You just do it. And that to me is a comfort as well. I like that.
Absolutely. Especially right now, I'll use a live example. So where's the market right now today, and how is Cap helping? So for most supply chains, February is a big month, because so much of our goods, not everything. I mean, we've got, you know, product coming in from Europe. Obviously, as a country, we also export. But for a lot of our retail sector, a lot of that is brought to us and they're imported in. And traditionally, a majority of that is imported from Asian locations. So February is a big month because you've got an Asian holiday in there that pretty much shuts down all of China specifically for anywhere from about a week to 4 weeks. Just depending on the factory,
yeah.
Chinese New Year. So everyone loads their supply chain for that. They know it's coming. That's been great. It's been stable. It happens every year. So February happens and Chinese New Year happens. Okay, everything stops. Then everyone's expectation was that coming out of February, beginning of March, it's, you know, all hands on deck, start producing product, and the supply chain kicks in again. But what happened this year was coronavirus hit China heavy in March. So those factories did not start again. So all of March, no production. Then what happened is come April, they're starting to get over their wave. Factories in China start to do a little bit more business. It's been slow going. And only now, probably in the last 2 to 3 weeks, did you see those Chinese manufacturers really kicking it into high gear and coming back to anywhere from 80 to 100% normalcy. So now you've had almost 3 months, a full quarter, where product wasn't getting made, it wasn't being brought in, and everyone here in the States is in crisis, right? So what did that do to the market from a logistics perspective?
It wasn't
immediately,
good.
And we're still not out of the way. So yeah, it's been a little crazy. And I'm just going to put some numbers to that for you. So as soon as the market started opening up, there was also a shift of product. You weren't seeing hair dryers and electronics being exported right away. You were seeing PPE, personal protection equipment, masks, ventilators, hand sanitizer, whatever could be had. That's the product, and that's what took the forefront here in the last 4 weeks. As a result of the U.S.'s need and competing globally with other countries' needs to get that product out of China, rates from China here into the U.S. back before all of this craziness was maybe $2 a kilo to get something brought in. Rates still to this day are currently as high as $18 a kilo. I mean, it's absolute crazy. So we're paying that massive logistic dollar to get our product in right now, and most companies can't bear that when you start thinking about that rate for the traditional hair dryer or the electronics. that wasn't built into their cost of goods. So that product's still sitting on the wayside while all this personal protection equipment's brought in. We're just now starting to see the market level out with that. So all of that came into the air, which, mind you, if you were to have a visual right now of LAX airport, it's insane. So there are planes backed up on the tarmac. This picture, the situation has really got so many little attachments to it. So normally product would come in to LAX, a plane gets unloaded, within 4 hours, those goods are made available for pickup. That's how quickly and efficient our supply chain had gotten to. Now, because to your point, we were talking a little bit earlier, even just to come in to the warehouse to do work, you've got to have a mask, you've got to take your temperature, there's a questionnaire. To some extent, warehouses are trying to keep that social distancing rule in effect, even throughout the supply chain. So how do you unload a plane, put inventory away when everyone's trying to stay 6 feet apart? I mean, there's some real labor challenges there with that, especially when you had all those people off work for the last 5 to 6 weeks when there was no product coming in.
Right.
So there's definitely been some challenges both on the labor side. Now that the airport's crazy, it's getting backed up because it's a little bit slower to go through all the mechanisms to unload a plane. Yeah, and so normally I might have product from LA. I had a plane that left Shanghai, landed in LA, made all that distance in one day, in less than 24 hours, and yet 9 days later, still sitting in LA trying to get that plane unloaded and the goods made available to do the local delivery that used to take me maybe 6 hours. So we're still very bogged down in the air environment, although we're starting to hopefully turn that corner. And we'll transition that now to ocean here in a second. But I'll take a break and let you ask some questions.
I don't even know where to go. I'm you know, my ears are bleeding because what you're talking about is just absolutely amazing. So it's just a queue. I'm stuck in LAX because of inefficiencies, backed up assets that I can't take your plane because I've got all these other planes that are ahead of you in the queue. And then, of course, my workforce is as inefficient as I possibly can be. And it's just, and then, of course, the costs that are just, and the demand for that product, the PPEs, globally, it's because the coronavirus was a global impact. So we're all just competing against the same sort of doggone thing, and as opposed to, there's just so many ripples of continue. I'm enjoying this conversation. Sort of.
It really is crazy. And so I it's chaotic, but it is fun. You know, so it's interesting because I really love, I think, the sense of community for sure that this situation has brought to everybody. So, you know, when we talk about heroes in the medical field, absolutely. Yes. We now start to see some communication. You know, our UPS drivers and FedEx drivers are heroes out in the community. But it really goes beyond that. It is the grocery worker. It is the warehouse worker. It is everybody who is still, you know, sure, they've got their own independent reasons. They've got to show up for work because they have a mortgage to pay. But at the same time, they're really going through a lot of risks and a lot of extra effort right now in order to just help keep our domestic economy functioning and to keep all of the goods moving as is necessary. So it really is a huge shout out to everybody operating within the supply chain.
And I'm going to interrupt just real quick. There is a, when you say sense of community, that's important. I think there's a sense of understanding with that community and saying, I understand you're challenged. We're all challenged. I'm a little less, to a certain extent, demanding like a service level that was pre-virus today. So there is a sense of understanding, but we're still, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bonnie, we're still sort of at the beginning of it. We're starting to see things loosen up. I mean, talk to us a little bit about that too.
You know, you're exactly right. So that's the air environment right now. We're starting to see the air environment, although it's still very congested and prices are high. We're expecting that to start to take a turn and hopefully have more equipment in the air soon, which should drive down some rates. And that situation will start to self-correct in the next couple of weeks. Moving over, though, now everybody's saying, okay, we've got all of our PPE equipment. Let's start transitioning to ocean. And so now for the last 3 months, we have had minimal ocean movement. This has led to steamship lines canceling sailings because there's just not enough goods moving. In the past, what led to those costs being so absolutely inexpensive and consistent was that their routings were designed well in advance with full steamship, you know, loads in order to maximize and drive down rates for everyone across the board. And now all of a sudden, as they start to kick back into gear, it's a matter of where is the product and how do we get vessels where they need to be? We have an absolute mismanagement's not the right word. It was just as a result of this situation, the type of equipment that's necessary, the 20-foot containers, the 40-foot containers, the chassis that containers ride on, all of that specialty equipment hasn't been getting moved around and then put into position. It's well thought out and planned to then put it into position for the next demand, and that demand wasn't there, so equipment's just been sitting, and now that demand is suddenly going to rise so quickly again from an ocean perspective, getting that equipment into the right places is a challenge. And so what you're going to see is some delays in getting product, and by product, I mean the containers and the equipment necessary to move your product, as well as an increase in cost, because now those pieces of equipment aren't just sitting there right where you need them. They've got to be brought into your location first to now service it, and so your costs are going to rise as a result of that. So the ocean environment right now, just this week, where rates were very low because there was no movement, now rates are where we would expect them to be. And then just this week, steamship lines announced almost a $500 to $700 increase specifically going into the U.S. West Coast, which is where the majority of this comes into, because the demand overnight has gone so high. So I think next we'll still continue to see problems then for the next 3 to 6 weeks, because those longshoremen at the ports, they have not been working. And now that's going to be the next transition, where how do you get the ports, which are very busy centers of activity, to utilize the same cautions and protections for all of its workers, but yet still get out these absolutely crazy demands that are going to start to peak here in about 3 to 4 weeks where they weren't normally expected. Yeah. So that'll be the next challenge over the next couple of months.
You know, when I'm listening to you talk about all of the elements of the supply chain and the freight forwarding and the ocean and the air and all of the components, what stands out and what is striking is the level of efficiency pre-virus that the supply chain had, and the discipline and the processes and everything that went into moving mass quantities of whatever it might be to where a little burp, I can't say a little burp, that is not the case. A pandemic has just, and you see how efficient it was, and now the challenges of getting it back into that level of efficiency, because the efficiency component is, of course, cost effective for everybody, but it's not there. And it's just everything. It touches everything. It's amazing.
Yes. You know, I have to say, as a supply chain professional, it is a moment to shine a little bit, where before there was such consistency, like we've talked about, that it was almost an underappreciated profession because it was clockwork. And now all of a sudden, there will continue to be such appreciation for people who are truly experts in supply chain, because these nuances, all of this change and volatility, that's where if I'm an importer here and I run a bakery or I have a clothing store and all that product has just come to me, I've most likely relied on a freight forwarder And it's been pretty hands-off. And now all of a sudden, that's probably my closest partner needs to be that freight forwarder, because I need to understand, where is my product? What is the cost to get my product? Where is everything in the delay? And have great communication the entire time, because I'm trying to make sales, or I'm promising to my customers. And as a small business, I'm just trying to stay afloat. And then anxiety right now is so high. So that's where I say more of the niche forwarders at least can provide that personal hands-on support, which is a little bit challenging, I think, with some of the massive forwarders that might exist out there.
I see that as a no-brainer. And when I say it's a no-brainer, I look at it from my perspective. If I'm a business, if I'm in whatever it is, and I've got my feedstock coming from international sources, and I need that feedstock to build my whatever it is, and because I've got the demand for my, hopefully the demand from my customer base, because there is also a shift in demand, because some people are just like, I can't buy it now. I gotta, but the only way that I can see true, and when I say it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, success is to your point. You've got to have clear communications throughout that supply chain. You've got to have clear transparency. You have to be able to be nimble and be fast to be able to make decisions to satisfy whatever your end goal is as a manufacturer. And I can only see it coming through some companies like Cap Logistics, to be fast, nimble, capable, and being able to provide that answer that I need to be to survive, because we're all in survival mode.
Absolutely. That's it. And then start to say, coming out of this situation, what have we learned, and what are some of the conversations that companies and businesses in the U.S. are starting to have? So some of those include, is having all of my eggs in one basket with product coming from China the right thing? Do I possibly want to look at maybe nearshoring, maybe looking at sourcing in Canada or Mexico? What does that look like? And a lot of my clients have started to come to us and ask those questions, which are fair questions. And that's another area. We actually specialize specifically in both sourcing and supply chain down into Mexico, and have been successful moving complete supply chains down into Mexico, which with the ratification and implementation of the new USMCA, which replaces, NAFTA, it's kind of referred to as that NAFTA 2.0, that's at least one of the trade agreements that we can now be assured of and move forward with. And so it's a nice time to be having that conversation to say, okay, what's next? Because along with all this volatility, there's some anxiety has been created, where people are really starting to rethink that supply chain and a level of security that may or may not exist when everything's supplied from China.
And again, to your point, I preach collaboration, because I don't think companies can be this sort of silo vacuum sort of view of the world, because the market has changed so dramatically. So you might have a little piece of a solution, but what does that whole look like? And it requires collaborations with companies like you and Cap Logistics to be able to then realize that the majority of my product came out of Asia, right? And now I realize that has a high risk profile given the pandemic. It may not in the future, who knows, but I'm in the mindset to rethink and make my supply chain and distribute that risk in other areas, and saying, okay, this has to be here, and be able to do that. I, as a business owner, I don't have that capability. I could say, hey, I'd like to try to do it down in Mexico, but that's where I can come to you and say, does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it is an analysis, right? It's a cost-benefit analysis. Certain products work better down in Mexico than others. There's still continuation of the Chinese tariffs that are in place that'll probably kick back in. A lot of the exclusions that were put, that were allowed to be had for the last couple of months will start to wear off in around August, September timeframe, which means those additional tariffs on Chinese goods will start to impact them and people feel that. So although Mexico may not in the end be the answer, it's certainly the best time to be having that conversation. And we go through a complete cost benefit analysis of your products. Maybe certain products work and others don't, or a certain model of your product might work, whereas others might not. But it's worth it to have that conversation.
Yeah.
One, for your sanity. You don't, as a business owner, want to just continue with this angst of, oh my gosh, I have no choices. You know, we'll partner with you to research it, vet it, and you can at least understand if you're making good business decisions.
See, and that's a real good point, because I'm once again, I got my business hat on. By the way, this is Bluebirds Light. It's an organization out of Denver, Colorado that makes inclusive parks. Great organization. There it is. And so I've got my business hat on, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got this 5-alarm fire here, this 5-alarm fire here, this, everything's sort of a 5-alarm fire. What can I do in that whole, you know, decision tree to be able to hand off and have somebody deal with that fire, which I don't have to, I can focus on a real 5-alarm fire that makes sense and be able to shuttle some of that decision off to companies like Gap Logistics.
Absolutely. And we're going to work with you to do that analysis to see if it makes sense for your organization.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. We have to wrap this up, unfortunately. I can talk for hours and hours, but I don't think people would want to listen to me and you talk for hours and hours. I think they, but anyway, it's good. It's good information. Are you active out on, I'm looking at your stat card out on LinkedIn. Are you active out there?
Yes, absolutely.
So, her name is Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, M. What does the M stand for?
Michelle.
Okay. Shields, S-H-I-E-L-D-S, Director of Global Supply Chain with Cap Logistics. And I would imagine there's a couple of Bonnie Shields out there. So just put a comment in there, Cap Logistics, that's C-A-P, and then logistics after that. And you'll be able to find her and reach out to her, because I think she has great answers. How's that? You do.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We'd
all
love
right,
to help
listeners.
Out anybody. You know, Go ahead. I was going to say, it's been my lifelong career, but it's because there is such passion for it. And it's exciting times to be in supply chain. So really look forward to helping anybody.
All right. Reach out to her. She's there. She's open. And she's got a massive stat card out there on LinkedIn. Listeners, everything that you need to know about Bonnie and Cap Logistics will be at industrialtalk.com. But we're going to wrap it up on the other side, so don't go away, because I know when you go away. So stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side of the Industrial Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, you listeners out there, thank you very much for once again joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Bonnie Shields is the name. Cap Logistics is the company. They will, without a doubt, be able to satisfy your supply chain, your logistics need, especially today. You got to reach out to them, go out to her stat card, find out more. You will not, and I mean you will not, be disappointed. Okay, again, collaborate. You do not have all the answers. Collaborate internally, externally. You can collaborate with me. I'd be more than happy to help. You need to do it with a sense of innovation, both internally, technology, everything that you can possibly, you've got to look at it from a point of innovation, because you got to create that resiliency. 3, we have the Industrial Academy. You've got to educate, 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 right? You've got to learn more, because this world has changed dramatically. You've got to have a sense of urgency. You've got to do it with speed. You've got to do it with nimbleness and focus. That's what you've got to do. And you've got to just be willing to make mistakes and get back up and do it again, because we depend on you, because you're industrial professionals. You are companies that innovate. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You're changing the world. You're changing lives. Thank you very much. We will be back with another great interview coming your way.